think where businesses are a bit more progressive or their values align, and that's a key thing, they see the benefits in this. They see where there's potential to make money. And within sustainability, there's three pillars that we talk about quite a lot: people, planet, and profit. I think that the struggle is that there's the lack of knowledge, because if it is put within HR, and because there isn't a big enough team to have a sustainability team, they can feel a bit, you know, overwhelmed with that and another project to do.
Today's episode of the HR L&D podcast is sponsored by Deel. Now take a moment, if you would, to consider the following pre-show scenario. Imagine you had to visit 16 houses just to cook your dinner. One place has the pots, another has the pans, another has the stove, and another has the food. You get the idea. Sounds ridiculous, right? Well, the reality is most global businesses operate exactly the same way, using 16 different tools and platforms to hire, manage, and pay their workforce. But now there's one platform that does it all, and that's today's sponsor. That's Deel. That's D-E-E-L. And Deel is the all-in-one platform built for global work. So whether you're an enterprise business, a small company, or something in between, from automated onboarding to performance assessments and beyond, you can manage the entire worker lifecycle all under one roof. Hire and onboard talent in over 150 countries, or run payroll in over 100 countries. Even offer competitive benefits, equity, and equipment. With Deel's industry-leading suite of HR tools, payroll solutions, and compliance services, you can scale globally with unmatched speed and expertise. So are you ready to transform your global HR system? If you are, click in the link in the show notes to book a demo with Deel today. That's D-E-E-L. Welcome to the HR L&D podcast, where we explore cutting-edge HR trends and best practices with top leaders who are shaping the future of work. Hello and welcome back to the HR L&D podcast. My name is Nick Day. I'm CEO at JGA Recruitment Group, and we are specialist HR recruiters operating in the UK, EMEA, and now the US as well. Now, of course, if you are a familiar listener to the show, please do remember to subscribe to the show. Please also remember to share it with all of your HR colleagues and friends. Together, we really want to raise the profile of human resources globally. And of course, if you haven't yet reviewed the show, please do so as well, and I'll be hugely grateful. Now, on to today's guest. We're taking a slightly different direction today, and I'm really excited. We're going to be talking about sustainability strategy and how that relates to HR, and should we be doing more of it? I'm going to put myself out there and say, I think we should. Let's find out if you all agree as we go through the show, because today I'm joined by Lauren Mustill, who is an experienced HR and talent professional who has had a lifelong obsession with nature, the environment, and plastic pollution. In fact, she retrained in sustainability with Cambridge University CISL and qualified in business sustainability management. She's also studied the circular economy with the Ellen MacArthur Foundation and is part of the Carbon Literacy Project. I'm sure we'll find out more about those during the course of the show if you're keen. However, Lauren is now using that skill, not just in sustainability, but also in HR, and that passion to really help HR teams and individuals to take positive action to help avert a climate crisis. This has led her to create a fantastic business called Grasshopper, which is a consultancy that works with SMEs to make sustainability strategies easy, fun, and most importantly, impactful. They help companies to really embed sustainability through people power and HR strategy, which is why it's going to be so relevant to all of you listeners, because she does that through one-to-one coaching. She works with HR leaders, she creates team workshops and a whole lot more, but she does it to really support businesses to improve employee engagement when it comes to achieving company ESG initiatives. So without further ado, that's enough from me. I would love you all to welcome Lauren Mustill to the HR L&D podcast. How are you feeling today, Lauren?
Hi, thank you so much. What a lovely, warm welcome. Thanks for having me here.
Delighted to have you on the show, because it's something that I'm particularly passionate about as well. For those that may not know, at the moment, we're trying to go through a B Corp process. We are, I believe, one of the only UK businesses in recruitment that actually offers a greenified talent solution, a planet positive recruitment solution. So I'm sure we'll have a chance to talk about that a bit later on. But I thought when we came across each other on LinkedIn and we got chatting and I learned a little bit more about the work that you do, I simply had to have you on the show to talk about it, and your passion is going to come through. So do stay tuned. Before we jump into that, I'm going to ask you one question I ask all of my guests, which is this. What do the words human resources mean to you?
Yeah, good question. I think for me, it's community, collaboration, and culture. There's often the kind of human resources eye roll. I think I remember back in the day when I was in that, like, I'll bring HR in, and actually That is never the case, and it's a vital piece of everybody's, a vital department for every business. But now, even more so, it's community collaboration and that culture builder. We're all on one planet, and HR are there to make communities within the workplace and make it the kind of best and most productive place to be and to feel proud of. So I think that's a really key, they're the sort of key holders to the culture of any business.
Yeah, I love that. Look, I've heard that before. Maybe this is a well-known thing, community collaboration culture. Is that yours? Because that's a rolls of the tongue and I like it. It sums it up very well.
Well, do you know, I did hear you do this podcast. I heard that question. I was like, oh, what would I say? And actually, I talk about community collaboration and culture within stuff I talk to with HR professionals, because I think that's a sustainability trait as well. It's all about collaborating, coming together, this kind of earth joins us as one community, and then we've got our own little community. So I think it might be me, I'm not sure.
Well, listen, I think you should go and IP it. It's I like it. It works for me anyway. So look, we're going to talk today about sustainability. Some people may not think this should sit with HR, and I can understand an argument, but why is sustainability so important in relation to HR strategy, and how do you see it fitting in with HR strategy as well?
Yeah, good question. Well, I think it's a talent issue, and I have differing opinions when I talk to HR professionals about this. Some think it's way off and it should be in a facilities team, or it should be in operations, or it sits well on the board and it's a senior leader strategy and not to be seen anywhere else. But a lot of HR leaders are now seeing this as firmly within their department. And I think that's because ESG, or sustainability, focuses on people issues. And it's not just about climate action or climate crisis, which we'll get to in a little bit. It's about the social side of things. It's about community. Again, I keep talking about that word. But even within ESG, environmental, social and governance, HR can be in charge of that social element of ESG and work with the people on it. And the reason I say it's a talent issue, and there's so much going on now in bigger businesses with top talent, climate quitting, or whatever you want to call it, the kind of impact quitting, conscious quitting, the great green resignation.
Yeah.
I noticed someone of yours, you're talking about the great awakening. We've all had a lot of time to ourselves during the pandemic. Like, right, am I doing the job that I love? Am I doing something that I'm going to, look back on and feel proud of? And depending on what your purpose might be, with what's going on in the news and the climate crisis, I think people are feeling a big overwhelm and feeling eco-anxiety. So if your purpose is something around the planet and the environment, and you look at where your business is, what your business is doing, they feel like they might want to go somewhere where the grass is like literally greener. And HR are there to retain talent, keep talent happy, build that culture. So I feel like that ties in really well. And there's just so much going on, especially as well that as HR, we have a duty of care as employer for people's well-being. So if people are feeling that anxious or wanting to put back, that's another way of doing it. There's been lots of studies around this and lots of stats from Big Four around climate quitting, especially with emerging talent. It's 1 in 3 18 to 24 year olds would reject a job offer, doesn't matter what it is, if the ESG records are bad. And 53% of 24 year olds would quit if they're not doing enough for their carbon footprint. So there's lots of different stats floating around now, and I think that's going to trickle down to the SMEs and the smaller businesses. When top talent and emerging talent can take their pick, they're going to go for the ones with the greener record or the better sustainability strategy. So I think HR need to get involved in this as soon as possible, get ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think you've put that really succinctly and you've made that really clear, because there is an issue here, right? I mean, I've been doing lots of these podcasts about other areas that impact HR, but and HR has a lot to be responsible for. It's a tough job at the moment working in HR. You're trying to manage, making your business strong in areas you've mentioned like well-being, but also we've got to be inclusive. We want to be more diverse and we want all these things, which are all positive changes. And we've done shows about diversity fatigue. I certainly don't think we've got anything like environmental fatigue yet. I still think it hasn't been fully onboarded. It's kind of, there's that awakening is still almost to happen. A lot of businesses focused on the social and governance side and kind of neglecting the environmental piece. And yet, as you very eloquently put there, if we don't make these changes now, actually, it's going to impact the performance of our businesses, because we're not going to be able to recruit or retain the top tomorrow's top talent almost. And this is what's going to drive the future growth of our businesses. So, and you've actually said, you know, and I've seen it as a recruiter, people are now voting with their feet. They decide to work with companies that have values that align with what they are, not just environmental, but across a whole suite of different things. And if they don't get those values, then they'll go to someone that does. And I know we want to talk a little bit about climate quitting. You kind of touched upon it there. But how engaged are you finding HR in relation to sustainability strategies then, in relation to that climate quitting? What more can be done, and how much of a potential problem is this for businesses if they don't start waking up?
Yeah, well, I think it depends, because you get some HR departments in smaller business where sustainability is lumped upon them, they feel like, and they don't have the knowledge, expertise. And as you said, HR teams are hugely busy. They have a lot on their agenda. So asking them to look after sustainability can feel difficult, and they often get a sort of consultant to go out and work out what they, how they can get to net zero, for example, or do a review of the business and the supply chain. And then it could kind of sit on a shelf and collect dust. And so therefore, there's a lack of engagement with that. I think where businesses are a bit more progressive, or their values align, and that's a key thing, they see the benefits in this. They see where there's potential to make money. And within sustainability, there's three pillars that we talk about quite a lot: people, planet, and profit. And I think we think about the planet quite a lot within, when we talk about sustainability, that's our kind of image, that's the imagery we see. But people, planet, and profit is how sustainability is built. So people that can see those opportunities there are becoming more and more engaged with it. I think that the struggle is that there's the lack of knowledge, because if it is put within HR, because there isn't a big enough team to have a sustainability team, they can feel a bit, you know, overwhelmed with that and another project to do. But from a candidate point of view and a talent point of view, I think it is becoming an issue. My number one question I get is, how do I, especially from reach out from LinkedIn or from workshops or webinars or people I meet, is how do I get into sustainability? And that is people from all walks of life. So I feel from a candidate side that that's really growing, and that's from people who are senior staff. I mean, apparently that there's another big stat that Deloitte did about senior leaders wanting to move on because they want to go into something more impact-led. But from a growing talent point of view, that's happening more and more. And the question I have to other leaders, and actually I spoke to a CEO recently who said, I don't really mind too much if people want to leave because of climate quitting. We're not going to do it. It's not an agenda point for us. But actually, do you know when your people are going to leave? Have you ever been warned of a resignation? You know, do you know that that might be the straw that broke the camel's back, that they're already looking, and then they get approached by a climate tech business who are doing amazing things? It's not going to be the you know, the kind of talent that you don't mind losing. It's going to be the top talent that are going to be poached by these people who have innovative, driven ideas. So I think it's an under the radar problem, which is getting bigger.
And actually, I mean, we've discovered in our own journey, we're a small enterprise, right? We're sub 30 employees, but we're trying to we're sort of getting carbon neutral status as an office. And it's been a learning curve for us. But actually, when you start implementing processes that improve the wastage and things that you do, actually a lot of them are quite cost effective. So becoming paperless, as an example, has forced us to be, you know, more intuitive with the technology we're using. And actually there's less wastage. So we become more profitable. Anyway, we are able to engage our workforce along the way. That's a small example. It was part of our process. Actually, a lot of the strategies you deploy generate more profit for your business outside of even the talent sphere. Anyway, it's about, you know, streamlining and efficiency improvements and all those things that we often overlook, and that can have a huge impact, particularly, you know, if we do it as an economy of scale or with the larger businesses. Now, I know you work directly with companies, you do workshopping and one-to-one things. What are some of the projects that you've been involved in with HR teams that have been particularly impactful, particularly in relation to generating buy-in for these sustainability strategies?
Yeah, that is a difficult one, because when everyone's busy, everybody has lots of things on their to-do list. And I think that it's always linked with employee engagement at the moment. Those are the big things that people are maybe struggling with, as well as wanting to put into a sustainability strategy. They've either spent a lot of money on a sustainability strategy that's done nothing, so they want to reinvigorate that and get the employees involved. But the big thing that I found has really worked is hybrid working and getting people to collaborate again. Because you can get people involved in these projects across any locations and communicate about sustainability and educate them, and they can feel like they can ask questions they didn't really know where to ask them or how to ask them before. So it's an education piece really, and that becomes an employee engagement piece, because sustainability is about bringing somebody from where we are now, measuring what they're doing now, and then where they're going to get to in the future. Like you said, you've measured what would be a cost save for something like a supply chain of making something making paperless. You're buying less, you're using something else, so you measure it from one point to the other. It actually, that's the thing about making a buy-in with a C-suite, is we can actually measure the ROI, the return of interest on this project from beginning to end. And I think the big key thing that has worked with HR teams I work with is employee engagement scores. So how do they feel as a hybrid team? How do they feel working together before and after these projects, where we educate, we go through a bit of an education phase, talking about what sustainability is, how do you link it to the values in the business? So if you don't have sustainability as a pillar in the business, how do we link it to the values? How do we make it into your everyday lives? And then how do we put it into your actual objectives? Whether they get a bonus on top of that, if they do things or not, that's up to the business. But actually, it's more about, I feel like I'm doing something well and I'm putting something back after my education in this particular subject. And then shouting about success. I think that's the, and C-suite tend to want to do that. If they can shout about success and talk about it to their competitors, good PR, good marketing, brilliant talent marketing, and that's how to get those people on board. That's where I've seen success, is that employee engagement piece.
I mean, obviously, I'm a small sample, right? We've got to say 30 employee business, but when we were going through our B Corp piece at the minute, and actually with some of the, I said to the whole business, who would like to be part of the kind of the committee that, and over 25% of our company said they'd like to be part of it, right? So that's engaging in itself. They all want, that shows you, and we're a very small sample, even put that as an economy of scale for 10,000 employee business. And you may find if there's 2,500 of those that want to be involved in this kind of work, it gives you an idea of how impactful this is in terms of increasing employee engagement, doing more for, more for less, but helping. And there's loads of things within that. And we little simple changes. I mean, from our business, you spend a lot of money on paper pads, to-do lists. Well, we found something called rocket pads, which mean that you just wipe clean the pages and go again. And little things that just slowly make a difference. And maybe they're a little bit more expensive initially, but over the course of time, you end up with the savings. It's all about economy and scales and things. But question for you. So I think the environment and the climate crisis we've been talking about for years, but I still think there's an opportunity for many businesses to still be really first adopters in terms of taking a proactive approach here. A bit like companies have done in improving things like diversity, which is an incredibly important part of the HR agenda. You've got companies now that are really focused and put a huge amount of resource into improving that element. But they're still kind of catching up now because they took too long. And I think on the ESG side, there's an opportunity for companies to really be first adopters and go, you know what, flag in the sand, we're going to be a really carbon neutral, whatever it is you want to do, a real sustainable business. We're going to put sustainability really high up on our HR agenda, our people agenda, our corporate agenda, right? But I'm still not seeing enough of that. Is that just me because I'm looking at it? I don't know. Maybe I'm just not seeing it. But I work with loads of different businesses. I'm sure we're all doing different things, but no one... It's quite putting a flag in the sand here and saying, actually, this is what we're really about. Or is that just, maybe I'm getting a misguided view?
No, I think you're probably right, sadly. And I think there's a lot of conversation behind doors. And the main thing is people are terrified of greenwashing. They are terrified of putting something out there that will be picked apart, especially bigger businesses. And we have seen some epic fails from some large businesses. And that's probably put the fear of God into smaller businesses wanting to put something out there. And it's a shame because actually, as we've just talked about, clients want it, investors, stakeholders, candidates, employees all want it. But there seems to be this lack of movement in that driving things forward and really, putting the hand up and saying, look how brilliant we are. And I think it's starting small. Do something, be honest, be authentic. And it's really difficult, I think, for businesses to just put themselves out there and say, this is our carbon footprint. this is what we do now, this is what we're going to try and produce it. People are a little bit frightened, I think. So they're what's called green hushing now. It's either green hushing or green wishing, where they're completely making it
up. Learning. These are new phases to me. I like them though.
Yeah, there's millions of them now on some things. But so instead of greenwashing, they're green hushing, which is actually just as damaging, really, because it looks like they're not doing anything. And I've worked with, I won't mention names, but I've worked with a couple of clients who've been doing that, and they've spent lots of money on sustainability and consultants and reviewing their carbon footprint and measurements and employee engagement. But because they weren't comfortable with the results, or they felt it was a big carbon footprint, they didn't want to put anything out there. I've worked with an academic institution who recently had just put theirs out, and theirs was a huge carbon footprint, but they've put a really clear plan on how they're going to reduce that down.
Yeah.
And it's just so authentic and so brilliant. And it's being brave, I think, and really meaning it. And that's where that getting that C-suite on board is really important, because it has to be part of the values and the mission of the business, so that you really do see change. Because the worst thing is being authentic and out there, and in a year's time, nothing's really changed. Yeah. Actually, yeah, driving it forward is the key thing, as you say.
Hello, HR and people leaders. Are you exhausted of the war for talent cliche? The problem is, when we hear a cliche, it usually exists for a reason. However, we think it's time for a fresh approach to the talent crisis. That's because at JGA Recruitment, we understand the real challenges you face in sourcing phenomenal HR and people candidates. And guess what? We think we have the solution. Our team is on a mission to revolutionize your hiring process. That's because we're not just recruiters, we're strategic partners dedicated to finding HR and people professionals who align perfectly with your company's vision and goals. So let's break the cycle of frustration together. Partner your talent acquisition strategies with JGA Recruitment and experience the difference in service, excellent, and results. No longer do you need to suffer the costs associated with a poor hire, because with over 100 five-star Google reviews and already trusted by many of the world's leading brands, why don't you take action today? Contact us at jgarecruitment.com to discover how we can help transform your HR and people teams. And here's a bonus. When you visit us, you can sign up for our weekly HR newsletter that's packed with invaluable industry insights and more. Let's revolutionize your HR talent acquisition strategies together and make the war for talent a cry from the past. Visit jjrecruitment.com to find out more.
You mentioned talent at the start of this conversation. And I've seen an improvement in terms of, I say improvement is one word, an increased number of sustainability directors and managers being employed now by businesses, you know, who are dedicated solely responsibility for improving sustainability or environmental impact, things like that. So obviously we've got HR people listening to this probably thinking, you know, I'm really passionate about this, but I just don't have the bandwidth. Like, I am stretched. We're doing organizational development, we're transformation projects, we're implementing a new HRIS system and all these things going on. Like, I know it's important, but it's just not top of our priority list for whatever reason. There's a certain degree that may be okay, depending on what your priorities sit, right? But we're now seeing people specifically hire professionals in this space. And I think that's a relatively new shift. I know it's some work that you've been involved in. It's certainly we have as well, because a lot often those sustainability people will sit under the people team or the CPO or CHRO. Mm-hmm. But how much of that is a movement at the minute? Is that something that we're seeing gain a bit more traction? Is that something, you know, do you think it should sit with someone who's solely focused on that element rather than having it as part of a multitude of other tasks? Or, you know, what would be your perfect future, I guess, for businesses in or the perfect model?
Well, the perfect model, you know, blank check kind of thinking, is that there would be a sustainability person on the board, but also that there is a new breed of department, I think, because similar to HR, sustainability sits with people, it sits with kind of communications, it sits with marketing.
Yeah.
There's this weird whole brilliant and varied mix, which is why it's such an interesting career to get into, I think, as well, and why something that actually HR leaders should grab onto to vary what they're doing too, because this is not going anywhere. The promises we have made and the pledges that companies and countries have made is not going anywhere. So yeah, it's bigger, and that is one of the largest growing sectors. And you know, sustainability in a job title has increased however many percent. It's really blown up, and there's a real call for it in big businesses, ESG knowledge, because there's a lack of it. It's still quite new.
And it's
definitely needed. And hiring somebody in would be great. I think where it sits, it doesn't really matter, as long as they have a feed into that values, that mission, and the people. And I personally, because I have an HR background, I really do think it fits within HR, because as much as they're busy, we get things done. We know how to measure success. We know people data, analytics, what looks like now, what looks like in the future. And we also know how to socialize ideas amongst teams and departments, and we know how to influence C-suite. So I think it fits really nicely, because we can also talk to communications, we can also talk to marketing and talk about our brilliant ideas and our successes and our challenges and those sorts of things. So I think a perfect idea would be to have a sustainability person on the board with the HR person on the board, work really closely together, or they work in a team, you hire somebody in. And then talking about time, I think the key is to get people involved. Like you just mentioned, actually, Nick, but saying, who wants to be on the committee?
Yeah.
Actually, you'll find you've got some people who have their own version of sustainability knowledge in the business already, and they might be looking for a new job. They might be thinking, oh, I just want to do something where I feel like I'm making an impact. And this is the email they needed to say, do you want to be a green champion for our business and do a little something every week? And that might scratch that itch for them. That might do something. And also take away the resource from the HR team, that you can give them that accountability and really drive a project forward because they're passionate about it, rather than it being plonked on their desk because it's a new thing underneath, you know, whatever department it might be.
I think I'm inclined to agree. I think certainly in the work that I've been involved in, obviously we do human resources recruitment, but I think it's so entrenched in employee engagement as well, talent, retention. I know sometimes that sits with talent, but I would say talent sits under HR as well. So I would agree. I think that's where it certainly can sit there very effectively. And there are more businesses now asking us to support them with sustainability-based roles to sit within their HR function, you know, with a reporting line either to C-suite or to the CHRO or whatever. And I think for me, it kind of makes sense to be that way around. I think also, I don't know what your feelings are on this, but if we fast forward maybe 5 years, and let's be honest, the world is transforming at a rapid pace. I think there's every chance in the future for those that do take this seriously, when we're talking about supply chain for the future, there'll be companies that may struggle to get the supply chain that they want, because some companies will just say, you know what, if you haven't got this level of credential, we're just not going to work with you, because it's going to impact our ESG targets. So it's important to get ahead of it for those reasons. Even if, you know, I would say, hasten to say, even if you don't fully believe in it, there's a commercial aspect to this long term for bigger businesses that want to work with the suppliers that they choose to work with. If you don't fully embrace this now, it could be that some people in that supply chain go, you know what, until you get to this level of, you know, ESG gets to this kind of target, we're not going to work with you. And we want to work with companies that mirror our values, not just employees anymore, but actually the suppliers we work with also need to mirror our values and our beliefs about sustainability. Is that something that you're seeing already start to move or start to happen?
Definitely. With some media companies I work with, they came to me to ask me to write a sustainability strategy because they have so many clients asking for that. But, you know, that's part of their tender process, that, you know, if they hadn't got something. And this is then where they're falling down, because a year later, to be reconsidered to still be on that client list or that PSL or whatever it may be, they have to show improvement. And actually, this is where the danger is, and why that employee engagement piece is so key, because you could write a beautiful ESG strategy. Same with DE&I, right? You could write a beautiful strategy. Unless you're engaging people and doing something and taking action and measuring progress, it doesn't really go anywhere. And that's when people are losing clients now, because it really is meaning more. And actually, especially for retail, I've seen a lot of it, because they really want to sell to people their green credentials. Yeah. And that is a big area where they can say all of our suppliers tick that list. And if they can't do it themselves, they will ask their suppliers to do that. So there's different ways of measuring your carbon footprint. And it's either scope one, which is within your kind of what you produce. So if you're making things and it's within your company's complete control, or scope two is things like heating or, you know, that kind of stuff, that you kind of have some control on how you produce that. Or scope three, which is your supply chain, which gets really complicated and really difficult to measure your carbon footprint, but that's the big juicy one that you can reduce. So if somebody, a retailer who is not doing that well on their own in their scope one, they will go out to their scope three and say, please reduce, I won't use you unless you have a squeaky clean green ESG record. So I think you're right. It really is becoming more and more important for people to have that.
There's a huge, I think all I'm hearing here, so the HR side of me is going, there's a huge opportunity here for HR professionals, not just to get ahead of this, but as you say, to be early adopters in the sense that this could be a real career progression for them. If they become the green champions within the HR function, right, there are not loads and loads of sustainability pros out there yet because it's still a relatively new thing. So they can, you know, if they start taking this direction now, well, it puts them in a great position for their own future career prospects later because they're going to be a little bit further ahead of the field and they're going to have a better understanding than others. And if they do end up being really passionate about this, which I hope that they will, then actually they can take a new direction and really work in an impactful way, still within HR, but actually really driving, you know, making a difference on the planet, which I think is a real fantastic opportunity that can be grasped right now, which is quite exciting. So I guess the question then for HR people who are that passionate, where do they find the time to tackle ESG? You know, where do we create this time from?
Yeah, I think that goes back to that kind of that sort of green champion thinking. Where can you get people to support you? But the other thing as well is thinking big. This isn't something you will put a lot of effort into and see something happen next week. It is a long-term value add piece. And so that's something to bear in mind with that. But the immediate effects of it will be, look at what we are doing. So talent will see it, customers will see it, clients will see it. So of course, and it also really elevates that kind of seat at the table, at the board table of what you're doing as a business. So hopefully that it sort of incentivizes people to want to take that time. But the other thing is with HR, if they're taking that on, is that the SDGs or the Sustainability Development Goals from the UN, it's not all about climate action and climate crisis. It a lot of it, and I always say this to HR professionals, reads like an HR to-do list. So thinking about merging it in with your diversity piece, because one of the SDGs is to, you know, a gender equality goal, merging that in with social elements. So if you have CSR already, so there's lots of different variations of what you could do within the SDGs. And well-being, of course, that's a huge, another area that seems to have grown and grown and grown and sits within the HR department a lot of the time, but they are all sustainability development goals. So without thinking of it as measuring a carbon footprint and lots of data and lots of, you know, that kind of very supply chain focused area, actually the social side of it and the other sustainability development goals that you're already probably doing to some element in an HR team, how can you align that and actually just measure it in a different way and make use of that time to say, I'm already improving our business's sustainability. We just never put it as a sustainability strategy before. I think it's a missed opportunity for HR individuals who are probably already putting a lot of effort into SDGs and don't know it.
And there's a chance really to create some legacy here, right? To have a real lasting impact. Wherever you decide to go later in your HR career, well, you can, if you put these things in place, you say it's a long-term thing that needs to be continually invested in, continually improved. You know, you can implement this now and 3, 4, 5 years from now, really see the impact that those decisions that you made in HR have had. There's an overall impact on that business. I think that's fantastic. I'm sure there's a wealth of and a host of other benefits as well. So let's think about some of the hidden benefits maybe in investing in ESG. Because I know it's something that you've been quite involved in. We've talked a little bit about certainly improving employee engagement, but there must be others.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, cost being one of them, as you touched on as well, there's a huge amount of companies, larger companies that talk about cost efficiency and whether that's because of renewable energy or because of installing solar panels, because of reducing supply chain. So it's a big one and one that obviously most people care about when you're trying to persuade C-suite to get on board, if you're talking about the bottom line. And morale boosting, as you mentioned. But the big thing is this communicating success is a hidden thing that I'm really passionate about as an employee engager. And that's where I see my background now when I look at HR and talent attraction background. Always knowing what makes people tick and actually whether or not people really are diehard environmentalists and can't wait to get hold of a green project to do. A benefit of this is if everybody's doing it and they want to be involved and it is something that the business are asking everyone to do, they learn how to communicate success in a different way, because sustainability inherently asks you to measure where you are now, where you are in the future, as I say. And if you get people together, so we work on this kind of, and please answers on a postcard for a better name for it. We call it the Sustainability Success Wheel. But we break off lots of teams who are working all over the place. And I mentioned before, like hybrid working. So if you've got a marketing team in Berlin and an admin team in London, you get them to work on a specific area in sustainability together, and because it needs to be the whole company. So that hybrid working and then communicating success, I've seen that work so well. It's something they haven't thought of before, because everybody's siloed into their own little projects, their own worlds, and that we're all so busy. But if you can get, especially if you can get green champions to say, right, you in Berlin do this and you in London do that, they'll want to do it, and then they'll want to show people success. It's just such a hidden benefit of really joining people together, which is probably why at the beginning of this I mentioned the kind of communication, collaboration and culture, because I see that happen within these kind of projects. I think it's a really nice thing to do, and therefore affecting lots of things like employee engagement and morale and all those sorts of things.
And you're right, so time is a limiting factor for everyone, but I'm a big believer in whether people want to, couch to 5K, whatever it is you want to do. If you want to do something enough, we always find the time. If there are green champions in your business that are genuinely passionate about this, trust me, they'll find the time, because it speaks to them in a different way. And I think this is where for me, HR becomes really, really exciting, because, for me, HR people they're cultural architects, right? This is the chance to shape culture. And sustainability has such a huge impact to play on the culture of your business, how people feel in that business, the direction you want to take it. And a lot of that is formed not just from HR, but they have a huge role to play in shaping the culture of a company, where they want to take it from. And, I always go, when it comes to recruitment, I want to find someone that's our culture fit. You don't want a culture fit. You want who's going to evolve your culture, who's going to take it to the next level, right? If we all did culture fits, we'd still be in the 1960s, 40s, whatever. You've got to look forward. And HR, what an exciting role to be in, because you get an opportunity to shape the culture of a company. And that involves really touching on the points that people are passionate about, and climate and ESG, and it's not just, as you say, CSR, whatever it is people are passionate about. There are a lot of touch points there that can really help evolve the culture, which I think is really exciting. Something obviously you're fully entrenched in and doing and immersed in. So let's talk a little bit more about what Grasshopper do. I mean, you've got a great mission statement, is to empower, educate and engage teams to create a better world. Mic drop. Tell us a little bit more about Grasshopper.
Yeah, it's a big statement, but and actually it starts with the tiny habits, and that's what we talk about. People don't know where to start often with this, and that's what Grasshopper all about. I realized I had spent my career, as I mentioned, talking about what makes people tick, whether that's talent attraction, how to retain people, what employer brand is like. I've worked in different roles within that kind of talent or HR space over the years. And it's always been what makes people happy. Why do they want to stay? Why do they want to leave? And that's how I tied in the work with Grasshopper, because I see so many people talking about climate and their concern about it individually, not knowing what to do and nowhere to start. Whereas actually the biggest place you can do that and make a bigger dent in the actions towards the climate crisis is at work, because there's more of you. And like you said, as an HR individual, how amazing if you can add all of those things up and say, this is what I did because I put this strategy in. So I felt really passionate about that. So we do workshops to introduce people to the process and the journey. So very bespoke. We talk about whether if you know a lot about the ESG strategies or sustainability development goals, we can do something very brief on the knowledge part, and then we get deep down into the activities and the action, or we can train individuals on that. But the key thing is linking it to values within the teams and making it really bespoke to the specific company. So it links to the mission and the values of that particular business and embedding it into HR objectives. So whether that's bonus or incentivized in any way, we talk about how we can embed it within HR and within teams and educate the HR leaders on how to lead a sustainability strategy as well. So that's through our workshops and webinars. So we do it in a little stage. We can either do a one-off big knowledge dump on people. But the key thing, I think, and you'll probably agree, and I'm sure you've had L&D people talk about this before, is the embedding. So coming back and giving people some accountability. So how have you done? And again, sustainability is measurement and celebrating success. So coming back onto that and saying, what have you done? How can you improve? How can we shout about this? And going from there and making people feel all lovely, warm and cuddly because they've helped save the planet in their own little way.
Fantastic. That's incredible work that you're doing. Credit for taking the route you have, because actually I know, and listeners may not know, you've worked on my side of the fence as a recruitment consultant as well. So you've seen everything from an HR perspective, talent perspective, and then you found something that you're really passionate about and you followed that passion. And there are lots of people in other businesses, I'm sure, would want to do the same. And as we say, embedding is a challenge, but actually it's the embedding that empowers the team as well. That's the bit where people actually have a chance to feel empowered to be a part of that embedding process. And never underestimate the amount of people that probably want to be green champions in your business. Even if that's not you listening to this, there'll be someone in your business that will want to play that role. And 100%. That's the thing that's really exciting and hopefully makes this journey a little bit easier. What's the question I haven't asked then today? What are the challenges maybe HR people are faced with? Or maybe there's an overview of, if nothing was to be done, the impact that would, I don't know. I'll let you direct me here, Laura.
Yeah, it is such a wide-ranging field. And it's sometimes difficult because, as I say, you want to make it fit for a business to give advice on that sort of stuff. So it depends. You can never give one overarching thing. But one thing I would say for anybody listening who's in charge of pensions and reward and anything to do with the finance of a business, please, please talk to your pension provider about where they invest their money, because that is 21 times more effective than all of the other measures you can take. There's a website called Make My Money Matter if you wanted to look into that more. But that is something I think HR and reward teams can really do. And actually, you could even measure that of looking at how many people put into that pension pot and how much you've stopped investing into fossil fuels, for example. It's a huge thing. So if I could give one piece of advice, if nobody ever talked about sustainability ever again, that is a massive difference you can make as a business, is moving where your money is, because we all know money talks. And unfortunately, a lot of it is being invested into fossil fuels, which is damaging the environment.
Great. Well, I'm glad I asked the question. I think on that note, and this show has never been about plugging the recruitment piece, but there's something, an element here that people are passionate. I think we're one of the only, if I don't know anyone else that's doing it, I'm sure there is someone else out there that does it, but we offer a planet positive ESG recruitment solution, which means if you work with us to place your talent, your HR talent, payroll talent, whatever it might be, actually we work to offset the footprint of that individual for 1 year. So the carbon footprint of that individual. There's certain things we do with that. Our clients get access to what is a Greenify impact assessment, which is sent to them 6 monthly, which tells them the exact impact that their carbon offsets have had. But for each employee, there's been separate analysis done on what an average employee will have in terms of their carbon footprint, in terms of travel miles and other things that they do. But for what we do, we offset 12.7 tons of certified, it's important, carbon credits to offset the carbon emissions. We recover and repurpose 34 kilograms of plastic waste to combat the plastic pollution. And we plant 8 trees to address the deforestation. That's for every single hire that we make through that solution. It doesn't cost the employer anything extra to take that solution on. So if people are really passionate about this and they need a reason to work with an agency that is equally as passionate, and you know what, it can contribute towards your own ESG targets. So that's really important as well. If you want to have an impact, I think it makes sense to work with a recruiter that's equally as passionate and can do something to physically offset the impact of your next hire. So it's something we do. We've always done it. We try and put it out there. I'll put a link in the show notes for those who want to find out more. It's called a Greenify Talent, which is our planet positive ESG solution. But I'll put it out there for what it's worth. I think it was relevant for today's show to say we can help you as well on your journey. Well, we're going to open the HR L&D vault.
Opening the L&D vault.
3 short, sharp questions for you, Lauren. Quite interesting today, because this might be a little bit different to the usual answers we get, because I imagine it's going to be slightly more related to your passion. So if you can give one piece of advice to the world, what would it be?
Be curious about what you're doing and what you're buying. Ask questions about it a little bit more, I think would be my bit of advice.
Fantastic. If you had the opportunity, what advice would you give to a younger you just starting out in this new world of work?
I think, well, start this journey earlier. I talk about a lot that I had, I've been passionate about it since I got a Blue Peter Green book in 1990. Wow. And it's something, you know, I just thought was a hobby. It was just something that I was interested in and got angry about. And actually, I never could work out. I loved people. I could never work out how to merge those two worlds. And I kind of wish I'd done it earlier. So that's what I would say to myself.
I have a 14-year-old, she won't thank me for saying this live on the show, but I've got a 14-year-old daughter who's equally as passionate, and I think she will follow your path into this world. She won't buy anything unless it's from a charity shop or used, so nothing new. When it's coming up to Christmas now, right? So everything has to be pre-loved. That's something she does. And she's only 14, but she's just signed up for 2 years from now, so she's got enough time to fundraise for it. She's going to Costa Rica for 6 weeks to help build communities and do all the things that she wants to do out there for good. And she's done it all off her own back. She's found the charity she wants to support. When she gets her pocket money, she gives a third of it to good causes every single month. And another third she puts towards paying forward to others. I don't know. I never did that when I was a kid, but I have a feeling she might follow your pathway into the world of making the planet a better place, which I'm super proud of. What is the guiding principle behavior you've seen in every great leader that you've worked with?
Authenticity, again, you know, transparency or authenticity, I think has been that kind of, if I can use that as one, I think knowing that they're being honest with you is a real key thing, and that they're well-intended in that kind of authentic way.
Can't argue with that. Well, look, I know there are going to be people listening to this that are going to want to find out more about Grasshopper. Hopefully, they're going to engage your services for workshopping, for helping them get on track for their ESG objectives themselves. So for those that want to find out more, where can we direct them?
So you can either give me an email at info@grasshoppertalent.com or check out the website at grasshoppertalent.com. I'm on LinkedIn as well, but I'm always open to getting feedback from the HR world, because it's the space I want to move into more and more and more. I feel like it sits very firmly in there. So really happy for feedback and a chat on any of those routes.
Super. Well, I will make sure all of those links, including your email, are in the show notes. So if anyone wants to find out more and you've forgotten that already, just go to the show notes today and whatever your favorite podcast platform is, and you can click straight through to Grasshopper to find out more about all the consultancy services that Lauren offers. Of course, I just want to say a huge thank you to Lauren for joining me today on the HR&D podcast, a really fascinating conversation about the importance of sustainability and how it links to HR strategy. I think it's really, really important. And if you don't do something, there'll be more people climate quitting, as you put it. So it's really important we address this now, because it impacts talent, impacts retention, and so much more. Of course, if you are interested in recruiting someone in the HR&D function, of course, that's what we do. You can contact me or my wonderful team at jgarecruitment.com. There'll be a link in the show notes. But I'll also put a link to our Planet Positive recruitment solution as well. So for those that do want to find out more about how you can take quite a bold step towards sustainability in terms of the recruitment partner you use, then we would love to show you what that looks like. Just leaves me to say one more huge thank you to Lauren for joining me today. And I look forward to being the next episode real soon. Lauren, thank you.
Thanks.
Today's episode of the HR L&D podcast is sponsored by Deel, the all-in-one global people platform that simplifies how you manage the entire global team lifecycle. From contractors, direct employees, EOR, and more, you can manage them all in one place with Deel. Hire and onboard talent in over 150 countries in minutes, or run payroll in over 100 countries with just one click. Offer competitive benefits, equipment, and equity from a single dashboard. Even customize career roadmaps, performance assessments, and more for your team through Deel's suite of AI-powered learning and development tools. So no matter your global business goals, Deel's team of over 200 legal experts keeps you compliant with local laws every step of the way. So whether you're an enterprise business, a small company, or something in between, Deel is built to meet your unique global HR needs. Ready to transform your global HR? Click the link in the show notes to book a demo with Deel today. That's Deel.